Guys, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Cloud Networking Unscripted, hosted by Numan and John Gonzalez. Today with us, we have guest speaker Tom Davis, who is one of our senior architects here at Uvatrix and an industry influencer in terms of helping customers move to their cloud journey. Works with many big enterprises on a pretty much daily basis. And we are learning things that we would like to share with you. So today, we have a very interesting topic that we want to cover. And that's basically is about build versus buy, right? So when you are talking about cloud networking and enterprises are moving to the cloud, obviously, the first thing they would do is they go to a cloud service provider, whether it's AWS, Azure, GCP, Oracle, and they would help for advice in terms of what I need to be doing. And obviously, the answer would be that we do everything. All you have to do is just move your workloads over and we take care of everything. And then there are a lot of things that people realize 1 year, 2 years, the journey that there are things that they have to add on to what they have built. They need to look from a security perspective, networking perspective, traffic engineering perspective, visibility perspective. And you know, by that time, things may already be late because you have built your teams, you have built your cloud native architectures, and everything becomes very, very difficult in terms of pivot from that strategy, right? So that's why, you know, what we have learned so far from enterprises, we wanted to cover that, as well as another topic that we wanted to cover is what is cloud native, right? Where a lot of enterprises, they have this hard-coded mindset that, you know, my strategy is cloud native, right? But what you will also realize that is there are a lot of improvements needed in the cloud. Not every cloud is at equal capability, as well as there are certain gaps that exist. There are certain features that CSPs relies on their partners to fulfill. It's almost like an 80-20 rule where they build 80% for millions of their end consumers, but then they rely on partners to do rest of the things. And if a partner product is built based on cloud native constructs, then that becomes more like cloud native plus. So this is something that we want to discuss as well. So anyways, Tom, welcome to the show. You know, we really wanted to use you and your share your experience with our audiences in terms of what has been your experience working with these customers and in terms of build versus buy, how they come up with this conclusion and what they learn based on the journey.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, thanks, Numan. Thanks, John, for having me. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so go ahead, John.
I was going to say, so Tom, you know, in your experience, having spoken to a number of the enterprises of all of varied sizes, how do they generally start their journey, in your opinion? You know, clearly they have a strategy, they want to move workloads to the cloud, and they know very little from that point onwards. You know, do you see them bringing in the cloud vendors, the OCIs, the AWSs, et cetera, to start maturing that conversation? Or have some of the your customers, they already have a more mature strategy and how to achieve it? What's your experience? What have you seen?
Yeah. And I think I've seen a mixture of quite a few different approaches, right? I think when you look at the different industries and the verticals that Aviatrix has had conversations with, oftentimes what we see is that organizations within a vertical, they look to their peers, they look to their competitors, they look to left, they look right, and you know, they look and they say, okay, this competitor is using Azure, you know, let's look at that Azure cloud provider and what that CSP is really offering their applications within that vertical, that and ultimately why did they choose that CSP. And so I tend to see a lot of organizations within a vertical kind of adopt the same cloud provider first build model, and they choose one, and whether it's AWS, Azure, or GCP, or Oracle, or others, they choose that cloud provider. They get in there, they start in basic swiping credit cards and starting to, you know, let their application developers start, you know, building applications right away. And to Numan's point, ultimately, you know, the networking, the security, and how it connects into their existing architecture is always an afterthought. And you know, and so those things are oftentimes discovered later in the journey. So that's typically what I've seen, John.
Got it. And I, you know, coming from a large organization, it's almost the same thing. You know, the trust is in the the big CSP, whoever that may be, and you know it and until the reality sinks in, right? And that reality then is comes late in the game, and it comes with a lot of pain, and it comes with a lot of retrofitting that needs to be done, you know.
Yeah. So talk about, I know that you have worked with several customers who, you know, started with AWS and then they started hiring, you know, people who can write CloudFormation and Lambda, mm-hmm. and doing things, scripting all these different native constructs, sort of in a way, lock themselves down in with one cloud. And which actually works for a lot of customers, painfully, but it works. But then, you know, obviously they have to make it scalable, repeatable across regions, across clouds, and they cannot just continue to hire army of people. I know right. our big customers have done some evaluation, especially for the products like Avatrix, and they come up with this conclusion, right? So can you share some thoughts on why they pivoted some of the decisions in terms of actually buying a partner Cloud Native Plus product to make things easier for them?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I've seen is that, and you called it out, which is, you know, really each cloud service provider does tend to recommend or and sometimes have their own proprietary scripting languages. And so if you're a customer and you choose and you put a lot of faith, to John's point, to, you know, to begin building in that cloud provider, you tend to trust them and use their proprietary scripting languages like CloudFormation, like Lambda Step Functions in as an AWS example. You go off and you hire a bunch of essentially, you know, DevOps or NetOps type system engineers that come in and help you build all of these scripts. I have a couple customers. One that comes to mind is a global large pharmaceutical company that, you know, invested millions of dollars into CloudFormation, into Lambda Step Functions, and then ultimately, in some cases, Python, because maybe CloudFormation didn't support that specific thing that they wanted to automate. And ultimately what they found with this model, it's gone on for a couple of years now, millions of dollars have been spent. And now they're starting to do two things. One, they're starting to recognize the native, AWS, limitations in terms of, you know, they're moving down the SD-WAN track and trying to integrate SD-WAN into their AWS architecture and finding all kinds of limitations. And so that has got them to kind of think about it. And then the other thing is they are extending their application workloads into Azure as well. And, you know, they realize that CloudFormation and Lambda Step Functions don't work in Azure. So they have to pivot their scripting language again and start to build scripts in Azure, right, to do that. So ultimately, they have pivoted towards Aviatrix and they have recognized, and some of the things we'll talk about here shortly, you know, some of the native CSP limitations and differences, right, between AWS and Azure. And then ultimately how Aviatrix has a common API and a common Terraform provider that works across multiple clouds. And so they can write their code in one language to Aviatrix, and then Aviatrix will then turn around and make the necessary AWS or Azure API calls. So we greatly simplify their automation build pipeline as well.
Thank goodness for HashiCorp, eh?
Yeah, no, that partnership decision several years ago was a really good one, right? Because it is the most common, you know, automation language out there that's multi-cloud.
Yeah. And Tom, the I guess 2-3 years ago when people started their cloud journey, they didn't know what they didn't know, right? I can have some sympathy for them. They believe in the big cloud vendor like they did on the on-prem. I'll believe the Arista, I'll believe the Cisco's, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason not to believe them. On the whole, they do a great job, right? But there's so much innovation going on today within the cloud from companies, many different companies. Sticking to that cloud native solution, especially for networking security, you know, organizations are really missing out on taking advantage of all of the other innovations that's going to help their organizations develop and be in front of their competitors. Are you finding that they're pivoting away because they're finding, not only because they're finding shortfalls in their native solutions, but because the native solution is actually holding them back now and unable to help that business move forward quick enough?
Yeah, I do. I think ultimately, when you start looking at the native CSP networking constructs, whenever they come out with a new feature, and this is well known, they have to have that new feature for millions of customers. So ultimately, they have to think about, you know, is this new where does this new feature sit in the priority list in terms of AWS or Azure development priorities? And then ultimately, if we do create this feature, we have to think about hard and soft quota limits, as is often the term within the CSP, that makes it to where they can scale that feature to millions of customers. And so when you have a very large, complex enterprise architecture that is slowly kind of, you know, or rapidly in some cases moving into the cloud environment, there are a lot of things that go into that complex architecture that the native CSP transits just do not allow or offer. And even if they did, it'll take years, you know, to bring any type of feature to the enterprise.
So Tom, give our audience just a few examples of what Cloud Native Plus actually is, and some examples of what the plus is over and above what you get natively, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'll provide kind of my explanation or my definition of what Cloud Native Plus is. So when I think about Aviatrix and the partnership we have with AWS, Azure, OCI, GCP, and really Aviatrix mantra from 7, 8, 9 years ago when Aviatrix was first founded, we wanted to be a cloud native platform. And that was really our directive early on, and that's continued to be our direction today. And really what that means is that we are cloud aware. We have the ability to understand what accounts are in AWS, what subscriptions are in Azure. You know, so we're multi-account, multi-subscription aware. We're also tied in very tightly to the native transits and the ability to orchestrate those transits in the underlay. And so we're very much integrated into the culture, the family, the architecture of a native CSP. But we also have a much more agile development cycle. So we release new features every couple months. And our features are what enterprises need in terms of advanced routing functionality, traffic engineering. We don't have to think about scaling to millions of customers on every one of our gateways. You know, the customers own the Aviatrix platform solution. So we don't have to think about the type of things that the CSPs have to think about. So the overall message is we embrace the native CSP capabilities, and then we extend the functionality of that CSP through our platform.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Tom.
Very, very good. So we got Cloud Native Plus. We got, you know, buy versus build. But let me throw this question over to you, John, now. And you have been obviously head of infrastructure at a major financial for most of your career. So let's say if you are that IT executive who took that decision of building in one cloud, right? You basically fired your data center team. You basically hired your DevOps guys. You say, yes, cloud formation is the way to go. Cloud native is my strategy. You start building in one cloud, and you start scripting. Now you came across things like Aviatrix. You say, hey, how come I didn't get this 2 years ago? And now you all of a sudden you think that, hey, I made the wrong choice maybe, right? Or maybe at that point, whatever information I had, I made the right choice. But now I'm standing at this decision point where should I pivot to changing the strategy to be more like Cloud Native Plus and leveraging platforms, is a combination of buy and build together. How do you pivot? And I see that, you know, sometimes the leadership is strong enough, they're visionary enough, they're modern enough that they take that and they basically push it out to architecture level and the execution level. Yeah. But how do you deal with that scenario, right? If you are an IT staff, you're in this situation because you feel like you're threatened, your job will go away, you didn't take the right decisions, you invested in not the right place. How would you deal with that? What would be your advice?
No, it's a really good question, and it's very real life, you know, to me as well, right? Because we did start our journey with cloud formation, we did start our journey with single cloud, we did start our journey in a haphazard way, and it wasn't a single person making those decisions. You know, the leadership jointly made those decisions. In the end, we found, was satisfying our businesses to get out to the cloud, allowing our application developers to have a little playground to learn about cloud native stuff. You know, we was doing things wrongly. We was doing things tactically, and it wasn't really a longer term strategic model that we could sustain because we knew the other clouds were coming along. And at some point we would have to be in those other clouds as well. So, you know, something very simple. We changed our automation. You know, even though we're still in AWS, we changed from CloudFormation to Terraform Enterprise, right? Mm-hmm. That then got us on a path where, you know, Terraform can be used across any cloud when we're ready to go to any cloud. I think some of your question, Numan, may be coming from, you know, how do the leaders make that decision to change and also save face at the same time? Because they've spent a lot of time, a lot of money. And I was kind of lucky. I came from an organization that encouraged us to do the right thing for our businesses. If you make a decision today, you're making it on the information you know today. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, that information may change. Something may change in the world. You have to pivot. You have to, you know, move half a degree to the right, whatever it is. But that decision now needs to change. And as long as you can justify that, why that changes for the better good of the company, then it was usually okay to do it. You know, stop spending now on that direction. Now spend in this direction. That never happened too many times. It only really happened in our cloud journey. It happened one other time on-prem, actually, and it happened with me. I was evaluating a product that gave us complete sort of access from our personal mobile devices this was before Cisco Jabber was even around. They gave us a proprietary dialer hooked into our telephone system. We could join, you know, meetings, etc. And this software solution from a Silicon Valley company, a small company, looked very, very good. And I thought, okay, let's play about with that in our lab. And my boss at the time, who's now the CTO at VMware, he said, here's X amount of dollars, go play with it. And he gave me the advice, if you're going to fail fast, John, right? Mm-hmm. Don't continue it. Don't be embarrassed. Do the right thing. Make the right decision. If the decision is stop doing it, that's the right decision. That's not the wrong decision. And so I was always encouraged in my career to do the right thing. And I always used to encourage my team. Now, I'm hoping that other enterprises, other organizations take the same view. Because at the end of the day, we're all here to serve our company and to make sure our companies are successful. And continuously doing the wrong thing and not putting your hand up is not the right thing to do for that company.
Yeah, and I think for now, at least you have learnings from other customers. Yeah. You have learnings and from other influencers and people who have seen this. So we have enough data points now, and I think that repeatable architecture, leveraging native plus platforms and products on top that makes cloud native better is something becoming more common. And people are going to have this multi-cloud optionality. And Tom, I would some of the last comments from you before we close this, but a lot of customers of bigger enterprises are looking to have this 3+1, 4+1 architectures where they want to build their own network with their own control and enterprise grade security and visibility. And then they want the ability to tap into any cloud that they want based on the services that they provide. So is this what you're seeing in your bigger enterprises as well? And what would be your advice to industry leaders who are going into this cloud journey and want to be able to build something right from the start?
Yeah, Numan. So that is exactly what I'm seeing. And especially for large global customers who have a visionary within the leadership, some of the things that John was mentioning, they want a 3+1, 4+1, 5+1 type strategy that gives them the ability to have consistent build, consistent operations, a consistent architecture across these disparate cloud providers. And so you're essentially, because of the native plus capabilities that Aviatrix provides, we offer the ability to have a consistent architecture that has all the same tools, all the same capabilities in terms of advanced routing, traffic engineering capabilities, regardless of the cloud that they choose to develop the application in. And I think ultimately, those types of decisions early on will really have big differentiators for them over the next several decades ahead of their competitors, being able to move and be agile like that. And I think we're going to help them get there. So
That's great.
And I think the cloud, the public clouds, are going to get like the on-prem at some point. There are so many people providing different sort of overlay services, different monitoring capabilities, different security capabilities on-prem. Eventually, they're going to do that. That innovation is going to happen in the cloud. And, you know, whilst you use the cloud as your underlay, I think, you know, companies like Aviatrix, there'll be other different security companies that come along and provide, you know, new flashy, innovative ways to do things. And I think customers will start taking more advantage of those things as they come along, while still using the underlay of the native solutions.
You know? That's great. And I think, I mean, as people are coming across Aviatrix as a platform, you know, as I was listening to Steve Molini's session on Cloud Wars, right? Indeed, yeah. Aviatrix delivers that high five moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They know the pain and they just come out of the cube and they say, high five, yes, this is exactly what you're looking for. And I think we'll continue to help our customers in that journey, make it easier for them to consume cloud, any cloud, based on the service that they need. So this has been really helpful, Tom and John. I hope our audience would like it as well. Thank you so much.